Now, Miss Joan Crawford on the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Bromo Seltzer presents Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. This program is transcribed and is brought to you by Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help which reminds you to...
Fight headache three ways! Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Herbert Rawlinson. Welcome to the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse.
If you could get away with murder, would you? Or is there something higher than man-made laws which would hold you back? Something called conscience? Consider this well as Miss Joan Crawford creates for you the poignant role of June Cordell in... Statement in Full.
I had never in my life so much as touched a gun before that night at Lookout Point. But killing is the easiest thing there is. All you have to do is pull the little trigger. And it's done. Never to be undone. I suppose it was altogether fitting that it should have happened at Lookout Point. It was there, with the lights of the city so far below and the lights of the universe so close above, that Bob had first taken me into his arms and said he loved me. How long ago was that? Too long.
Place is completely deserted tonight. Got it all to ourselves, Joanie girl.
You know why? Those holdups. There've been so many up here lately.
Yeah, and for every Lover's Lane holdup that's reported to the police and the papers, bet there are at least two, three that never get mentioned. Because why? Because the parties involved just can't afford to have their names come out.
Oh, let's not stay, Bob. I know you wouldn't have risked coming up here if you hadn't had a few drinks.
Of course we'll stay. Nothing pleased me more right now than to have someone try to pull a stick up. Just happens that inside that glove compartment, there's a revolver.
Oh, Bob, you...
Forget it. You know, Junie girl, you're looking extra special tonight.
I thought you hadn't even noticed my new outfit. I can remember when you always noticed every little thing right away.
Seems to me you've been doing an awful lot of remembering lately. Well, how about remembering that this is Lover's Lane?
Oh, please, Bob.
Hmm?
Well, there's something I've been wanting to say for quite a while now. You always seem to head me off, but not tonight.
Look, June, I got another letter from her yesterday. She still refuses to give me a divorce. But I'm sure if you'll just be patient a while longer...
No.
What do you mean? No.
Bob, I've made up my mind. I'm going to her myself.
June.
I'm sure that after I've talked to her, as one woman to another, well, I'm sure she won't stand in our way any longer.
Now, listen.
No, Bob.
So you've made up your mind?
Oh, darling, I'm sure it'll work. Please don't be angry with me. I'm getting next week off and I'll fly to Hartford. You did say she lives in Hartford.
Did I? Well, she doesn't.
Well, then where does she...
Junie girl, she doesn't. End a sentence, end a paragraph, end of romance.
Bob.
Yeah. Finally, it sinks in.
There is no wife?
The oldest gag in the world, and you fell for it.
No wife?
Yeah, and you'd have kept right on falling for it if I had really wanted you to, but it wasn't worth the bother anymore. Not that it wasn't nice knowing you, Junie girl. Awful night.
Was it? was it?
Stay away from that glove compartment, you little fool.
You can't do that to me.
All right, so you're mad enough to want to kill
him.
Trying to do it is another thing. Let go of that gun. Let go.
No. I did it.
You sure did.
He lay slumped over, his head on my shoulder. For a long time, I just sat there, unable to move, unable to think. Sat there with that head on my shoulder. Yes, even without looking at him, I knew he was dead. This man without a wife, in Hartford or anywhere else. Dead. Eternally dead. Well, there's nothing to do about it now. Sooner or later, someone was bound to come and they'd call the police. And... police? But there was nothing I could do about it now. Or was there? Funny how all of a sudden I knew what I had to do. As if I'd been thinking of it all the time. I had to scuff up the gravel beside the door on the driver's side of the car as if there'd been a struggle with someone. And I had to get rid of the gun. The reservoir was as good a place as any. And above all, I had to go on living as innocently as if I had never pulled the trigger.
Yeah?
Officer, is this the place to report?
Louie, get the matron. A woman here looks like she's...
No, I'm all right.
Yeah?
I was up at Lookout Point with my fiancé, and a man tried to hold us up. Bob tried to grab his gun.
More people get killed that way. Where?
Outside, in the car.
Matron! Where is that matron?
Sorry to disturb you, Miss Cordell.
Yes, who?
Inspector Price, homicide. Oh. I've got to ask you a few questions.
Of course. Sit down, Inspector. What time is it?
The night after. That's why I couldn't wait any longer.
I understand. Please feel free to ask me anything.
Thank you. What we need, first of all, is a description of the killer. As full a description as... What's the matter?
I'm afraid I can't be very helpful. I mean, it was over so fast, and the way it happened...
You must have some idea of what the killer looked like.
Well, I...
Tall, short, fat, slim, light,
dark. He was medium. Medium height and build and dark. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much of a moon, you see, and... Well, he came around to the other side of the car, Bob's side. He said something like, "This is a stick-up. Don't try any tricks. You, mister, get out." It was something like that.
What kind of voice?
Well, it was rather low.
Low register or low volume? Did he speak with an accent or maybe a drawl?
Well, I can't be sure.
But you must be sure of something.
Oh, what do you want me to do? Make up a description? Don't you think I'm as anxious as you are to see the man who killed Bob? But it wouldn't help any to describe the wrong man.
No, it wouldn't. Well, maybe it'll come to you later.
Yes. If it does, I'll call you right away.
Thanks. Oh, Miss Cordell.
Yes?
Curious thing about the bullet that killed Bob Morgan.
Curious?
Happens to be a .32-20.
I'm afraid that doesn't mean a thing to me.
Don't run into many .32-20s, which makes it that much more curious that Bob Morgan should own one.
Bob had a gun? He never mentioned it to me.
Then you wouldn't know.
Know what?
Why we can't find Morgan's revolver.
Well, maybe he got rid of it a long time ago.
Miss Cordell, he took out his permit for that gun last month.
I see. I'm sorry, but I can't help you about the gun either, Inspector.
Well, one more thing.
Oh, please. I'm sorry. What is it?
How long had you two been engaged?
Almost a year. A year next Tuesday.
No wedding day, though.
We were keeping it a secret. But it was set for next Tuesday. I'd already arranged to have next week off.
Now, will you please
sure.
go?
Hope you feel better, Miss Cordell. I can see how much my questions have upset you.
He suspected me. It was as plain as if he'd come right out and said it. And if I didn't do something to divert his suspicion, he'd keep at it until he found out the truth. Divert his suspicion. But how?
Sorry to have to bring you here right from the hospital, Miss Cordell.
That's all right, Inspector.
Show up rooms just down the hall.
Will there be many?
Stage full. Right in here.
Thank you.
How about sitting here, hmm?
Wherever you think best.
They're bringing them in from the lockup now. Only be a minute.
Inspector.
Yes?
It's true, isn't it, that sometimes a witness who can't describe someone can identify him instantly on sight?
Oh, yes. Still haven't been able to trace that .32-20 revolver that belonged to Bob Morgan, though.
Really?
And there are those scratches.
What scratches?
Oh, didn't I tell you? There were some scratches on the right hand and wrist of the victim. Fresh scratches.
Oh, I think I can explain that. You see, I have a kitten, and when Bob stopped by to get me, she scratched him.
Those scratches, Miss Cordell, were inflicted within a minute or two of his death.
Well, then it probably happened during the struggle.
Right. What puzzles me, though, is that why a man should have such long fingernails. Here they come.
The moment he mentioned the scratches, I knew I was going to do it. I suppose I'd really known it all along. And maybe it wasn't so unforgivable after all. The thing to do was pick a man who was obviously a criminal, obviously an enemy of society. Why, I might even be doing society a favor.
All right, now pipe down.
Inspector.
Yes?
Number 8. Could he say something?
Number 8?
Me.
Yeah, you. Step forward to the white line. Now, read that blackboard the sergeant's holding.
This is a stick-up. Don't try any tricks. You, mister, get out.
Yes. That's him. That's him. That's the man who murdered Bob!
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast, effective headache help, is bringing you Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tonight, starring Miss Joan Crawford in Statement in Full.
Fight! Headache! Three ways! Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do? This is your old friend Norman Brokenshire. Every day, all over the country, so many businessmen and women who find themselves with a headache at the end of a busy day turn to Bromo Seltzer for fast, effective three-way relief. Yes, sir, they've discovered, just as you will when you try it, that Bromo Seltzer helps your headache fast and effectively these three ways. If you've ever noticed when you get a headache, you usually have an upset stomach due to excess stomach acidity. Your nerves become jumpy and jangled, too. Well, the next time this happens to you, I want you to try pleasant-tasting Bromo Seltzer. I'd like you to see for yourself just how fast Bromo Seltzer helps the pain of that headache, how it soothes your upset stomach by neutralizing the excess stomach acidity, and how it calms those jittery nerves. You'll be glad you got to know wonderful Bromo Seltzer. As for speed, you just compare the speed of Bromo Seltzer's effervescence with that of any product in tablet form you've ever tried. You'll be amazed. For best results, use cold water. Follow the label. Avoid excessive use. Be ready when a headache strikes. Keep Bromo Seltzer handy at home and where you work. Yes, for really fast, effective headache help, take
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Now, Act Two of Statement in Full, starring Miss Joan Crawford.
Inspector. I slept remarkably well the night after I'd accused this man I'd never seen before, of the murder which I had committed. I had expected a certain feeling of guilt, and yet I walked away from that show-up room conscious of nothing but relief. It wasn't until the day of the preliminary hearing that the reaction set in. Mostly it was the way he looked at me, the man I was charging with my crime. The way he looked when I raised my right hand and swore that I was telling the truth. The way he looked when I told my story. Those eyes seemed to mock every word I said. I was almost glad when the moment came for him to take the stand.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Well, young man,
I solemnly swear.
Silence. Walter Haney, you have heard the testimony given here against you. What have you to say on your own behalf?
What difference does it make if you believe her?
Is that all you have to say at this time?
Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Then I have no alternative but to order you held on a charge of murder in the first degree.
No!
This court stands adjourned.
The woman who cried out was sitting alone far back in the courtroom. I realize now that I'd been aware of her all the time. Had been watching her even. Why? There was nothing different about her except, well, a sort of tension. Otherwise, she might have been just another of those plain, nondescript graying women who seem drawn to courtrooms by nothing more than morbid curiosity. But that cry of hers, I couldn't get it out of my mind. By 10 o'clock that night, I was feeling so jittery that I practically jumped when the doorbell rang. Even before I opened the door, I knew who it was going to be.
May I come in?
Who are you?
Don't you really know?
Only that you're the woman who... Well, in court this afternoon, you... Yes, come in. Would you like to have me take your hat and coat?
Don't bother.
Will you sit down?
Thank you.
Who are you, anyway?
What if I were to tell you that I'm his mother?
Whose mother?
Please, Miss Cordell.
Why did you come here?
Put yourself in my place. Would you sit in your room and try not to think? Or would you seek out the person who...
Who what?
This afternoon in court, you were so positive. Yes, you said. Yes, that's the man, so help you God.
Why shouldn't I be positive?
When the police first asked you for a description, you weren't positive. You could only give the haziest description.
Well, that often happens. Ask the police. The moment I saw him, I knew instantly.
Yes, instantly. One man out of many men. And you knew instantly. How?
Because of that... Well, that look of his. Those eyes of his. In addition to everything else.
You're the only witness there is against him, Miss Cordell.
I'm sure the jury will consider that.
No. Not if you're so positive. A young woman of good family, good friends, good reputation. And he can't establish an alibi.
Is that my fault? How can you be so positive that he isn't guilty? You have no right to come here and...
I'll go now. It'd be a terrible thing, Miss Cordell, to realize afterwards that you might have made a mistake. Even might have made a mistake. Wouldn't it?
I dreamt that night that I was at Lookout Point again. And everything repeated itself. Just as it had happened that night, except for one thing. Just as I pulled the trigger, I caught sight of somebody watching. It was the woman. And she looked at me sadly and said, "And for this they'll execute my son." I went to the office the next morning, thinking it would be best to keep busy. But no matter what my hands might be doing or my lips might be saying, she was still in my thoughts. At last noon came, and I started out for lunch. But that isn't where I ended up.
Miss Cordell, come in.
I merely wanted to ask you, Inspector.
Yes?
I've been thinking of going away, out of town. Would that be all right?
Just so you let us know where you are and come back to the trial.
Oh, thank you.
Rather sudden decision.
Well, I haven't been feeling well, so I thought if I could get away for a while.
Here I'd been thinking that you were holding up so remarkably under the circumstances.
What circumstances?
Well, after all, when a woman loses the man she loves, especially the way you did, then, too, I know it isn't easy to have to sign a death warrant.
Did you have to say that?
All I'm trying to do, Miss Cordell, is explain to you that I understand what you're going through.
Inspector, this man...
Walter Haney?
I know that under the law, his previous record of crime can't be introduced into this case. But he does have a record, doesn't he?
Make you feel any better if he did?
What do you mean, feel any better?
You've got it bad, haven't you? Usually this doesn't happen until afterwards, when the prisoner keeps denying right up to the end that he did it. And, well, there's still time.
Time for what?
Well, find the gun, let's say. I know how that'd make you feel, even though you're as positive in your accusation as if your own life depended on it.
I couldn't get away from there fast enough. I couldn't get out of town fast enough. I had to put everything behind me, far, far behind me, until I could get hold of myself again, until I could see things again as I'd seen them once before. 50 miles and I was able to relax my grip on the steering wheel. 100 miles and I was wondering whatever had come over me to make me act like that. Nothing had really happened. Nothing had really changed. I was still safe, and I would always be safe, unless I gave myself away. Why, this man, this Walter Haney, he didn't even have an alibi. He'd be convicted, and that would be the end of it. Except for that woman, of course. Well, I felt sorry for her. But I felt sorrier for myself. She shouldn't have had such a son. Oh, I was so sure of myself again. But not for long. For everywhere I went in the days that followed, I kept seeing that woman's face. At first, I thought it was an illusion. But no, I saw her. She even touched me while I was shopping in a department store. I saw her through the window of a restaurant while I was eating, and at a crowded intersection while I was waiting for the signal to change. And though I fled from one city to another, from one state to another, it happened again and again and again. Until at last I came to realize that it was no use trying to run away, that it would never be any use, that unless I told the truth, gave myself up, I would always be haunted, tormented by the face of that woman! Free will. No promise of leniency has been made to me, except the leniency of my own conscience. Do I sign now?
Yes, now that you've had a chance to read it over.
June Cordell. Now what, Inspector?
Matron will take charge. Oh, here she is.
Oh! Oh, no.
Yes, Miss Cordell. I'm the matron.
You're the matron? But you said...
I said, what if I were to tell you that I'm his mother?
So that's...
I was sure all along that you were guilty.
So that's...
But I had no way of proving it. Well, Bertha here has a flair for the dramatic. The part about having you see her in crowds wherever you went was her own touch.
Anyway... That man I accused won't have to die now.
As a matter of fact, he will. You see, he's been up for extradition all the time. State of Illinois wants him for murder.
so he'll die anyway. And I'll have... Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh,
thank you, Joan. That was a tremendous performance.
Herb, I love doing it. And may I say thanks to all the rest of the cast. Donald Woods, Harry Bartell, John McIntyre, Paul McVeigh, and Jeanette Nolan.
Thanks again, Joan. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce Dick Hames, the star of next week's play. Now, here is Norman Brokenshire.
Thank you, Herb. An exciting story. Say there, neighbor, if this has been an exceptionally trying day for you and you've ended up with an annoying headache, get fast, effective three-way relief with Bromo Seltzer. It's amazing how fast Bromo Seltzer works in helping your headache all three ways. These three ways. When you have a headache, your stomach is usually upset due to excess stomach acidity. Naturally, your nerves become jittery and jumpy. Well, Bromo Seltzer goes right to work, relieving the pain of that headache. Bromo Seltzer neutralizes that excess stomach acidity, soothing the upset stomach, and it calms those jittery, jangled nerves. Wonderful? Ah, you bet it is. To really appreciate what a great headache product Bromo Seltzer is, try it on this guarantee. You must be satisfied or your money back. You'll like it all right. And you'll like the pleasant, refreshing taste of Bromo Seltzer. As for speed, just compare the speed of Bromo Seltzer's effervescence with that of any product in tablet form you've ever tried. You'll be amazed. Keep Bromo Seltzer handy at all times. Be prepared to...
Joan Crawford can soon be seen in the Warner Brothers production, Goodbye, My Fancy. Tonight's play was written especially for Miss Crawford by Maurice Zim, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Mr. Dick Hames.
If you know baseball, you remember my name, Dyson, Rabbitfoot Dyson. And as long as I had Baby, my Rabbitfoot, nothing could go wrong. But I'm in a jam now. I'm a killer and they're closing in on me. And Baby, I can't find Baby.
Then it's Rabbitfoot next week, and it sounds like a honey. Thanks, Dick. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This program was transcribed. And now this is Herbert Rawlinson saying goodnight for all of us here on the Hollywood Star Playhouse and for Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help in the familiar blue bottle.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.